Good evening. My name is Agnieszka, and I'm here with Adam Antia, hosting our first mentor call for practitioners, masters, and teachers. This is where we come together and exchange ideas and examine each other's case studies and help each other with, or empower each other with, our research into psychosomatic psychology and psychosomatic therapy.
Yeah, so welcome, and we knew we were going to start these calls for practitioners, and it's great that we're finally there. And what I thought, I just wanted to reach out tonight and just kind of put it out there to see what kind of feedback we get from all of you as to what in particular everybody would like to see from these calls. With the body awakening method calls that we've done, they seem to be more structured, whereas we'll send out a specific topic, and right now we're going through the BAM modules, and we're at the sacral, and that's what we did with them. And with this call with the practitioners, we thought we would just, at least for tonight, kind of keep it open and just see what everybody is either wanting to discuss. It can just kind of be whatever comes up, or anything that you'd like to see. And like Agnieszka said, we could also get into some case studies where anyone who has anything particular that they would like more detail about, they could email us prior to these calls, and we can get into a bit of a deeper case study about them. So just wanted to see what everybody was wanting to receive. And then we could open it up, actually, even Agnieszka, and just start from there, if you like.
And before we open up the discussion, that ping that you heard was Carol pinging me from Australia, wanting to say hello to everybody on this call. She was saying that she would rather be here than studying the back end of whatever she's studying. Technical aspects. She's preparing for the master's thing.
The master's training thing that she's doing in May in Sedona?
Yeah, so she's going to be the only teacher who's going to be teaching masters and teachers. So she has to do an accredited course out of Australia because it is a governed course that's taught. And up to now, only Herman's been doing it. So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing that's happening. So
wow, so even she's continuing to grow. How neat.
Oh, good Lord, I hope we all do. Yes, she flew all the way to Australia to grow.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
No, I think she just went there because it's warmer there.
Well, that's true, too.
I think there are closer places. I'm going to require a 20-hour plane ride.
Yeah, she gets to see Herman, though, so I think that's always a special treat. So.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, just wanted just to see what would you guys all like to see, whether for tonight or moving forward? Does anybody have any thoughts of what they'd like?
Can I speak?
Yes.
I've got a couple of things that's like specific type case studies, like you say, that I wanted to talk about if you know, whenever it's my turn. Just like, could we look at this and see what everyone thinks about this? And
okay.
It's two people and similar type of challenges, physical challenges that they have.
Okay.
And I've given them my own personal, from what I know, and I just wondered what other people would think.
Okay.
That's all I've got right now.
Okay.
And another idea I had, too, because I need to, for the course, I have to have 5 full body readings, right, before I show up. And so I just wanted to get anyone's idea of how I can pull this off.
How can you pull those off?
Well, yeah, I've got, a bunch of people, and they sort of know what I do a little bit, but I just wanted to figure out how I can. I don't have an office. I don't practice. I don't, I'm not a practitioner at all or of anything. So,
life.
I wanted to. Of life, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay, well, I just...
Life.
Maybe I'll just touch on that, and then we'll look at the case studies after, once we go through everybody, see what they're looking at for tonight. But just as far as with Jessica becoming to Masters, so there's two routes now to go prior to coming to Masters. For anybody that's looking to go on, say, to become, say, a practitioner or to get into teaching, the teacher's level, then those case studies are requirements to go down that route. The other route is for anybody who's looking to incorporate in the work that they're already doing without getting the practitioner certification, or just for personal mastery, which really, first and foremost, that's what it is about anyway. You don't necessarily have to have those five done if you're going down that route. I always say it's great to have as many as you can do before you get there. We do end up doing another three while we're there anyway. And as far as how to do them, Jeff, before I even had a space when I first started, I just did them in my home. And
right.
I had people that I felt comfortable with, because in the beginning I didn't feel comfortable just to open it up to anybody. And I just informed them that it's going to be anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. Don't talk to Kay. She's going to tell you it takes 8 hours. But I would tell them that it would take 2 to 3 hours, and I would just do one at a time. I would be like, can I finish one? And I would just do it. And then I wouldn't worry about five. I would look at it as one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So if that helps at all.
That helps a lot for me. I did one, besides what we did at the 10-day in Sedona. And I did it with B, who was at the other thing last spring. So she was a perfect person to do, because she totally understood the whole thing, and she was, and she got a lot of benefit out of it. So it was really great. But the next person I was supposed to do it with, she canceled out because she got a cold, and now I'm still waiting on her. So
right.
But definitely want to do it with user-friendly people first, you know, like friends.
Yes. And that's what I found, that as I was doing that, then I would just get, the more I would learn, then I would get my own mastery, the more comfortable I would get. And as I was doing them, I was clearing my own stuff that was coming through anyway. So I would just say, look at it one at a time, just one analysis at a time.
Thank you.
And I get to having it with friends to begin with. And I think I'll just, a lot of where I get it from is going to be from referrals. Like, this person had it done, and then they're going to say, oh, you got to talk to this guy. He knows everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it's sort of been branching out for me anyways at this point.
Yeah.
Because I do stuff all the time just randomly on the street. So.
Carol and her famous bar time waxing.
Yeah.
Line up at the bar.
Yeah.
And this is where I still find the half hour, checking off those five half hour consults is kind of tricky, because, you know, I naturally just tell them things like half hours is not worth, to me, is not worth a session.
No, but those are consultations. Remember we talked about that, Kay?
Yeah.
Those are consultations. So like for yourself, you've already been seeing people before psychosomatic. So that's just kind of, those are really, honestly, those are easy forms. They're like an intake form. Who are you? What's your name?
But I still have to find the person who's willing to do that and sign it for me.
Right. But you could also do those with the people you do a body analysis with as well.
You know how I did them? Just in conversation, for example, we would be sitting at around the table with some friends, and one would be like, oh, my left knee is really sore. And I would just, you know, go through that, going, oh, okay, the left knee, let's stand up, see your posture. Okay, well, you know, I think it's solar plexus moving forward. And I would just do a quick analysis, and then I would just write down my observations from that day. And that would be the form for the consultation, because that's all the consultation is one injury or one ailment or one dis-ease and the analysis thereof.
Yeah, and it's also just asking for medical history. So it's just getting a brief outline of the person. Really, that form asks, are you married? Do you have any kids? What are the siblings? I believe, I'm going by memory, but I think it's...
No, I think the form's been changed. There's less questions on it now.
Yeah, but they're very simple. But have you been on any medications? Have you had any injuries? Like, they're very basic form that really, that form shouldn't be taking more than half hour to do.
I did it in the midst of trying to also do a strategy session, and I don't think that worked out well. I think I need to keep it separate because I got confused. It kind of, and yeah. Also I didn't have the form in front of me, which didn't help either.
Yes.
So having the form, and but I'm thinking that for maybe some of my current clients offering, if they start to talk about any kind of health ailments, to say, hey, would you be interested doing a little psychosomatic thing? Can I do it? I guess I need to do it in person, though, right? I need to see the person.
That's the problem.
Okay.
And not necessarily for those forms. Are we all talking about the same forms?
Yeah. We were talking about that two-page conference.
It could be a consultation. To be perfectly honest, you know what I've been doing recently with people who want to come see me for a session? I'm actually emailing them the form
uh-huh.
at this point to fill out, so I'm not spending that time when I'm with them.
Oh, that's great.
Right? So then I can see, okay, what's their birthday, right? What have they had any injury? So then I don't have to, it's more so that time isn't taken away even when we're with them, because if I have
a... That's out now.
I'm sorry?
I'm gone from that form. Yeah, our forms don't have those little details.
Yeah, the form has been scaled down.
Well, then it should take even less time. It was a very, But it can be done over the phone as well, right? Because if someone's saying, well, I have lower back pain and this is my history and you know, the other few questions, then you can still do recommendations of, we'll come in for a body analysis, like analysis. And I don't mean an 8-page analysis, right?
So. Right.
Okay.
I guess the question again is, can you do that consultation over the phone, or do you have to do it in person?
Right.
Yeah, for sure. You can do it over the phone. You just basically get all the information you can from the source of information that you get. Sometimes I do it from a photo, right? Or I ask for a couple of photos, and you can still see the person's body and analyze what you see.
Okay.
And you can only see what you see anyway, even if you see them in person. So...
Okay.
No? Everybody notices different things.
Yeah. And I just filled those out with the people I did the body analysis on. And
I know why you want them in person. You want them to sign the little form for you.
Yes. There's that as well. That's true. That is true.
But if they send an email with that they approve of it or whatever, you could just attach that to the book, and it would be as good as a signature.
Yeah.
Okay.
But those, like, to be perfectly honest, those took me very little time even before I did my body analysis with the first people that I did the body analysis on, and those people were kind of understood that I was learning anyway. Now, for someone who has an existing practice, well, you're probably doing that anyway, doing some sort of consult.
Mm-hmm.
It's more for teaching a person how to go through the consultation process. That's why we're doing those forms,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Yeah,
right. I get that. It's.
I kind of do it separately because I like to do these specifically using psychosomatic techniques as opposed to my own techniques.
Right, and I think it's going to be what works for you as individuals as well. But that's one form definitely I wouldn't say needs to be too much time being hung up on that. It's just, what's your name? What's your birthday? I mean, the form's been changed. Apparently, it's even less information now. I would keep that one as simple in your mind as possible. So
yeah, the form has name, address, personal consultation issue, personal story, family relationship analysis.
Yeah,
then the next page is recommendations.
Yeah, very simple. So recommendations coming in for, I mean, this is down the line for, you know, an hour session, which is, you're not going to be doing an 8-page report at that point, but you'll be doing like main problem today, left knee sort of thing. So yeah, that form should be very, very straightforward.
Okay.
Jeff, does that help?
Yes, sort of. I still have to find those people in Calgary. I don't go out very much in Calgary.
Well, you can do one with Agnieszka. You could do one with Rebecca.
Yeah, but I still don't see them.
On the phone.
I talk to people on the phone. Well, I have seen people, but, you know, like we're together for such a short period of time that I didn't want to take away from lunch to be doing my own thing because I was on a tight schedule to leave after lunch. So I didn't do it and stuff.
Yeah. They're honestly, Kay, those consultations, I don't want to spend even too much time even on the call talking about them much more
right.
because they're...
No, I understand. Yeah, I'm making a comment.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying because I don't want you to think that they're just a simple phone Agnieszka,
yeah.
phone Rebecca. You know what I mean? There's two, and then ask a friend, can I call, like, I'll call you for this specifically.
And then I have another question about the 59-page self-study thing that we are supposed to do.
Yes.
So are we supposed to really fill in all the 59 pages and then scan them all? That could take 59 hours.
What are we talking about now?
Okay. There is a report with the new logbook where we had to do it as well, but it was just laid out differently where it's a list of psychosomatic questions that are to be answered.
Okay.
When I did them, I mean, I mailed my package to Australia. I just put everything in an envelope and I mailed it. So as far as if you're going to scan it, Kay, I don't think it should take that long to scan it. Maybe you can photocopy and just put it in the mail.
I'm not talking about the scanning part much as me actually doing them.
I think that's a personal thing. Like if you're wanting to complete them and you want the practitioner certification, then I guess you'll have to do it. But it's also, remember we said there's two routes. The one is if you want to go down the route of practitioner and master and teacher, then they are requirements because it's a government accredited course. If you're just doing it for your personal, then do it over a period of time. Like just do it as you know, a page now, a page next month. That's where it becomes personal as to what you're looking for. But I think if you're looking to get accredited, that's like taking any course. There's certain requirements, but it's up to the individual if they want to spend the time doing it.
How much does it cost to get accredited?
It doesn't. I think it costs like, I don't know, $75 for the office work to get your certificate mailed to you.
$75. Because the very first page, the very first line, I was already stumped. It says, after reflection on them, write what they mean to you. Communication. And the second one is consciousness. Evolution. Human being.
I think the key words there are write what they mean to you. So how could that, it's not going to be wrong because it's what does it mean to you.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no one's going to be sitting there going, no, that's wrong, because it's what does it mean to you? What does consciousness mean to you? It's going to mean something to you different than Michelle or Jeff or myself or Christy. Or it might mean the same thing. So, yeah, good breath. Okay.
Okay, so what about, let's hear from somebody else here now. Jeff had two case studies, but let's maybe wait for that a little bit. Does anybody else have any questions about how to do anything, how to complete their accreditation?
And we'd like to say hi to Kara, who joined us.
Kara.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We saw you sneak in there.
All right, so any
You
questions?
Know, I have to say I really liked it when you were going, you know, doing a brief review of what the chakra area was, because I can never hear enough of that, even though I went and I listened to Carol last night. It's sort of like each time I hear it, it sort of deepens in me, you know, and so it's like I see her and then it's kind of like auditory. And I really enjoyed that. I felt I got a lot out of it. And then because it was a review, in a sense, then when we got to the case studies, everything just really popped. It made a lot of sense.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad.
Yeah, there will be, if you want to listen to it again, Michelle, there will be a replay that will be sent out tonight. And so you can certainly listen to it as many times as you'd like.
Right, but did you get what I was saying right now is when you review, like you've done in the other calls, is you review, you know, the topic that we're going to be focusing on. So tonight, as I understood it, we were going to focus on the sacral area or the sacral chakra.
So the calls are structured slightly differently for the body awakening method calls. Those are the beginner calls, and we go through a topic in each call because the beginners don't have as much experience with psychosomatic therapy to be able to really, they're just starting to learn, right? So they need the review. And the practitioner call, this call tonight, is all about your questions as a practitioner. We will be hearing some.
Oh, so did you have a call yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, man, I thought that was a mistake. Oh, my God. I mean, because I kept on getting weird stuff from you guys. First, I got the first one, and it sent me to a dead, you know, like October call, and then there were two in the row, and I thought she'd gotten it wrong. I didn't realize there were two different calls.
Let's just say there's a lot of...
Christy did the same thing, too. Yeah. I mean, I realized it this morning, but I didn't realize it in time yesterday.
Yeah, and we're breathing through a lot of things over here as well as we're starting to really put in a foundation for a lot of things. But just going forward, for everyone to know, is the first Tuesday of every month will be the Body Awakening Method. Then that's for people who have only taken the 3-day and are doing the online. And that is something that's structured. So, for example, yesterday was sacral. Next month will be solar plexus. On the first Wednesday of every month, tonight being the first one, we have our practitioner calls for practitioners, masters, and teachers. This is the first one. So what we thought we were going to do tonight is kind of ask what everybody is wanting to do going forward, whether it's structured or case studies. Like, for example, Jeff tonight, he does have something he'd like us to look at. And so, Michelle, you know, if you want, we can even, if you have any questions about the sacral, we can answer those tonight as well. But keep in mind that we do have the recording from yesterday.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm so sorry that I missed that, but I'm not completely because I spent last night doing the whole thing with the assignment. So I actually listened to it because I knew this call was going to happen tonight, thinking this was the BAM call. So,
yes.
Oh well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're focusing on particular. So we could do case studies. I have one person. I did one full body analysis, and I can just pull out my notes and see if there's anything I can ask questions about, and that would be great.
Okay, so maybe
let's do it. Let's take a couple of minutes to review it.
Yeah, and then I just want to let you know, Jeff, that we're going to touch on yours as well after, since those are the two who have spoken out right now. So since Michelle's got the floor right now, maybe we'll start with that and then we'll flow. Actually, I feel like we are in the sacral because it kind of feels like we're allowing this to flow.
Uh-huh. Well, you better start with Jeff because I have to find my notes. I don't know where I am.
Jeff, do you have your notes?
Never mind.
I've got them.
All right.
So go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Just hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, okay. All right. So I'll start with a person. It's a woman, and she has uterine cysts. And so, and I use the Lincoln book a lot, Messages from the Body.
Yes.
You know, and I find it's pretty, you know, like I had someone last year, my friend, she had a breast, like a lump thing that was removed. It was benign. And so I gave her, you know, reading from that just right out of the book. And I said, okay, and plus what I felt about her and what I knew about her and everything like that, and it was about abuse and family abuse and all that kind of stuff. And then I just gave her right out of the book what it was. I go, this is kind of harsh. Like Adam and T always says, that book is freaking harsh. And
Filter.
Filter, exactly. And so I did. I kind of toned it down a bit. And then when I saw her next, she lives in Boston. And so then I brought the book and I said, okay, Robin, I'm going to read this to you now. You know, from what I had given my nice filtered, you know, my nice, you know, soft, fluffy version of what I thought and what the book kind of, you know, blended together. And then she said, that's awesome. And she goes, whatever you paid for that course, you know, you got your money's worth. And I said, awesome, good, that's good. And then I read the book and she goes, that's exactly what it is. Like the harsh, you know, how radical this guy is with his, he doesn't care, right? He's just like, this is what it is. And
yeah.
And she said, oh man, that is totally, that's exactly what's going on. She had like her father abused her. And she, right now she's even got a court order. You know, he can't be within 500, you know, whatever from her. And I've just from that, it just kind of said, you know what? People can hear it. People can hear the harshness of this book. Not everything, because not everything applies. So I have like two people that I know. One has a giant, what are they called? One is uterine cysts, and the other one is what are those girls called? And it's giant, like it's like 12 centimeters. It's this big thing. It's like she's carrying a baby. And
fibroids.
Not this one is not a cyst. The other one, it's a fibroid.
Could be a fibroid.
Fibroids. So she has fibroids, and she, you know, she wants to see if she can, you know, reduce them, but she's actually going to go for the operation because it's just so big. And, you know, so I told, you know, from my experience and what I know about those kinds of things is because of something that happened when you were, you know, maybe when your reproductive system was starting to work and you were starting to get some, you know, hormones going and, you know, starting to have sex in your life. So she had this relationship with the boy and like a sexual relationship, her first one, and wasn't, you know, and it turned out really bad and everything like that. And then she started developing that fibroid back then when she was like 16 or 17 or something like that. She's 40 now and it's giant inside of her.
With her ability to have sex?
I haven't asked her that. I imagine that it would, and I'm not sure that she does have much of that going on. But
Sorry, did you say this started back when she's about 16?
16, 17. She had this boyfriend that she was totally in love with, and you know, and all he wanted to do was have sex, and then it turned out he was a dick, and she did get pregnant, and she terminated the pregnancy, and since then she's really not had any interest in sex, but she's actually manifesting like her own little baby inside. And that's what I told her.
I was just thinking that too. It looks like a pregnancy, right? But it's there permanently.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. So, Michelle, we are in the sacral chakra after all.
Yeah.
You said sacral. I thought these are my questions. They're all about that area. Yeah. So, and then my other friend, she's got two cysts that she's actually going to have removed. And I don't. Oh, this is her story. So she was artistic. Her mother was an art teacher, and her father also was a professor of art, but they didn't want her getting into art when she was young. And she really loved it, but they stifled her. They wanted her to study and be more academic or whatever. And she totally suppressed all this art in her life. And she's about 25, 28, around there now. So now she finally, like during a ceremony, you know, kind of ceremonies I'm talking about, Adamantia, and she realized, like, she came to the realization that she really needs to express herself with painting and the stuff she did when she was young, and mm-hmm. the stuff that, you know, her parents said, you know, don't do that, don't, you know, it's like, stay out of that thing, it's, you know, it's not good for you. And so she had been suppressing her artistic urges, and her needs didn't come out until, you know, it was, her eyes got opened in ceremony, and she's realizing that she has to do that. And now the cysts are coming to light, and she's actually, she can't lift stuff, and it's affecting her physically. And yeah, so I'm looking at what's his name's book here, Vulva Problems, Rape by the Universe. She has an excessive sense of vulnerability and violability. She feels victimized by the whole world, as if she'll be done in by the hostile and indifferent cosmos. She is full of tripod rage, blah, blah, you know, his thing, and patriarchy paranoia. It is a resultant of coming up in a severely dysfunctional, functional and patriarchal family, which most of his things turn out to be.
Yes.
you know.
Yeah. And that's the lady who also has the cysts?
This is the one, the cis lady that I'm talking about. Yeah.
Because he also talked for them that they are running the same old painful scenario in their head, and they're heavily into self-pity. What's interesting with her, though, is you're saying she's now, I'm trying not to mix the two that you've been talking about, just because there's mm-hmm. similar areas, but you're talking mm-hmm. about she's just expressing herself now?
She's just starting to paint again and draw everything.
Yeah, it might be a sense of that old energy that's been sitting there stagnant, because now she's expressing herself and coming up to be released. But it's about going back to the original womb to heal that, which sometimes I start to feel like I'm a tape recorder with that, but I'm a firm believer that it's going back to where the original wound was.
Mm-hmm. And this is what he says about cysts. Poor me, they're running the same old painful scenario in their head, and they're heavily into self-pity. They are nursing old hurts and current examples, as they're unable to heal their hurt feelings. Underlying the pattern is a guilt-based self-rejection that was generated in a blame-throwing and shame-inducing family.
Yes. Yeah.
So that totally makes sense to me. And the one thing that is always really frustrating about this book is you can, you know, here's the reason for it, and this is why it's happening. And then, okay, so what's the solution? How do we rectify this? How do we get through this?
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, you're bang on with the descriptions out of the book, and because there are other places as well where we find this information, but it is relative to unexpressed creativity and expressed emotion. So, yeah, I totally get it, Jeff. Here's all the awareness. Now what? Because mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff is sitting in the subconscious. So it, and I'm going to just let Agnieszka add to this, but again, it's like taking them back to the original wound. That's what needs to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
I agree.
So Agnieszka, you wanted to say something?
Well, I was just thinking about the cyst, right? So when she was a kid, she was pregnant with all these ideas about paintings and drawings. And then as an adult, she goes back to it, and then there's some rotten babies inside her. Like, you know, the first ideas were infected or something and became full of pus, like the cysts would be, right?
Sure.
Full of rotten matter. And so she has to release the first baby so she can birth more babies that are pure. And those would come out as ideas, as paintings.
Yeah. That's nice.
Right, because ideas come through the sacral chakra and go up, and babies, physical babies, come through the sacral chakra and go out mm-hmm. and grow two legs.
Yeah. And so a way to heal that is, has she done the work around the shame or guilt?
That's a good question.
And remember, the difference was guilt is I did something wrong. And shame is, I am wrong. Or guilt is, I did something bad. And shame is, I am bad. And shame is deep-rooted into the human conscious, at the very core. So that would be something to do to get her, like, to ask that question. Because I'm sorry, is this the same lady now? I don't want to mix them again. Who had an abortion?
No.
No, that's the other
that's
one.
Different.
Well, it's relevant to the other one as well, though.
Sure.
But with the sacral in particular, like when we're looking at that area and the hips and stuff, it's where we will carry shame, where we can, may carry shame.
Emotional
and
body.
In particular, and for a woman with her femininity, and is there any shame connected to that?
Yeah.
And it could be generational as well. Sometimes we can carry shame that's not necessarily ours. It could be from mother, from grandmother, generations, cultural as well, religious.
I'm sure there's some of that, definitely.
Yeah. So that would be one first step is towards healing, is taking her back to that and looking at, is there any shame associated?
Yeah, and you know, and you said religious and all that, and I realized she's Greek. So
well, there you
go. You know anything about that?
Trust me, that explains a lot. And you might want to look at your body type as well. What's going on with that area of the body? Is there excess tissue? Are the legs close together? Does she have the knees? Remember, we call them Catholic knees. Looking at the whole her body as well will tell you a lot more about what's going on. What are her lips doing? Are her lips tight? So this is where you start pulling in different parts of the body.
Right, yeah.
Right? So possibly getting to her cultural beliefs, religious beliefs, and I mean, now it seems that every time I'm talking to somebody, it's like, what was going on with your mother?
Mm-hmm.
What are your mother's beliefs? Because that area is also about relationships, but particular relationships with mother.
The feminine, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And sometimes the questions alone are enough to bring it up from the subconscious.
Well, I'm having lunch on Friday with her, and so... And,
you may
you know,
not want to do it over soup. You might want to let her eat first.
Yeah, we'll have our lunch first, and then I said we could go for a walk after and talk about this. Yeah, I have been talking about it with her over the past few months, and then the cysts have just come up. So it's interesting that she's, like, all of a sudden they've manifested. I think it's new, the cyst part, and the other stuff wasn't, the suppressed painting and, you know, mm-hmm. Her art wasn't acknowledged and, you know, cultivated as a child, and so interesting.
Yeah, I would also suggest that you maybe ask her, has she talked to her cysts? And that maybe she should try starting a communication, and I mean like lying in bed just by herself, maybe she lights a candle and she starts getting, because if she's lying down, her head's on top of her body, so you can hope she's connected. And to get in tune, have her maybe put her hands on them and start connecting with that part of the body and asking them what they're there for. You'd be amazed at what comes up in that process.
That's cool. That's a great...
Does anybody have anything they might that they would like to add that might give some insight as well? Or not?
People are fighting for the floor.
Yeah.
Well, you were doing such a good job, we didn't need to.
Yeah.
That's it.
Do you feel complete in that, Jeff, or is there anything you'd like more? Anything more we can answer or?
I like the idea that these are babies that got infected and so they're, I don't know the words, but that's a really good, like a good metaphor to how a way to look at that for them. And then and then connect with them. Yeah, that's a good solution, which is always what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, I can do energy work on them and that kind of stuff. You know, I can get them on a table and do some, you know, colors and that kind of stuff, hands-on. but actually for the work that they have to do themselves, because it's not, you know, it's not for the practitioner to heal them, it's for them to heal them, and you have to give them the clues to, you know, here's what you do, this is how you deal with this. And in both cases, it's going to be, it's so far that they actually are going to go for an operation. And the fibroids, like hers is going to take her down for like 6 weeks. Once she has that operation, she says she's out of it for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And plus, if the body's trying to give her a message, it's getting to the root of what that message is. Yeah. So the operation is great, obviously, yes, to help relieve what's going on. But the body's clearly, it's trying to, something's coming up from the subconscious to the surface to be healed. So,
and it's time. And here it is now. Look at this. And look at this. What are we looking at? What is it? What's the message?
And that's why I love the timeline so much, because it's like, I can go back and look at it and see when things started and what was going on in my life around that time. And it's sometimes so obvious and I haven't been able to figure it out with my brain. So, yeah.
And the other thing that I just wanted to mention is that when I have a client on the table and I ask them psychosomatic questions while I'm working on their muscles, I often say, I'm just here to facilitate, but it's your responsibility to heal yourself. So what are we going to do about this issue that I just found? Or how are you going to deal with it? What can you, you know, what is one thing that you can do this week that will alleviate this particular issue?
And I think that's so empowering. Yeah. And it shows such a willingness when the person actually goes and does it as well.
Can I ask a question? The woman artist that has the I guess she has the cysts, right?
Yes.
Has she gone back to doing her artwork?
She has, yeah. She's been exploring that for the past couple of months now. What I want to find out is, when did these cysts become apparent? And, you know, did you start painting and then the cysts came?
Yes.
But she had been, like, in her life, she'd been very, ill in other ways, like not fibromyalgia, but those kind of, you know, exhausted, you know, disease, not disease, but, you know, it's just been dragging her down. And then when she realized that, it's like, I have to paint. Like, it came to her in ceremony. It's like, I have to paint. And then when she started to paint, her health shifted. Mm-hmm. Like, she started feeling better, more alive, more, you know, able to, and she actually looked better. I saw her first time I met her, she got the message. The second time I saw her, maybe a month, 6 weeks later, something like that, she looked like glowing. She was like, wow, what have you been doing, Maria? Like, and she's like, I've been painting. It's awesome. Yes.
So that's clearly helping. But if she's still has the problem with the cysts, and of course she's going to get the operation, that'll help, but she might try painting with her recessive hand, the left hand, just to see what comes up, because that's a way to access that childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's really a great suggestion. Great suggestion.
That is awesome. Thank
you.
Yeah,
brilliant. And she might even want to draw her cysts.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when you said that, that's what I was thinking. As soon as you said that she's tried to paint the cysts, and then you said paint with the other hand, I thought both of those are great ideas. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
This is awesome, you guys. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's great. I really get the sense of it, though, because it started coming up after she started, that it's just the old wounds ready to come up to be healed. It feels like, and again, this is just what I'm sensing, so take that for what it's worth, but a real healing opportunity, which they all are, yes, but it doesn't, that's what it get more of a sense of.
Well, I like this because it puts, you know, it puts the onus of healing on them. They can get the guidance from us, but they're the ones that have to do the healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they actually take responsibility for their healing process, and then they actually do heal that way.
That's yes. Beautiful. Yeah, brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing those. Thank you. And Michelle, did you find your case study?
I did. So there are two questions. One is maybe a quick question. You know, around the solar plexus, sometimes you get those little indentations that look like part of the muscle development. It actually looks like tone. But just in terms of the body analysis, or my sense was that any place where there's a depression, that might be a loss of energy. And actually on the back, it's sort of confirmed that there is a depression along the back of the spinal column right at that solar plexus area. But in the front, I wonder if it's always, you always interpret that depression, you know, on either side, just above the belly button, there's sort of this nice, looks like tone, but it's an indentation in the flesh on either side.
So that would depend on a number of number of factors, I guess. The skin quality around the area, how vile that skin is. So you can, you know, if it's an indentation, often that skin is a little bit tired or taut, or like overly taut, right? Whereas if the flesh is well balanced and you can feel the energy flowing easily through the area, then it's nothing to worry about. But if it is something that's an actual indentation that's not in line with the natural muscle systems, then you can see. Actually, I have an interesting case study about that. There was an indentation in somebody's leg that appeared suddenly after a summer of playing sports. But yeah, the indentations really depend on what the skin quality is like and how does it present in the body.
Right. Okay. So I'm looking at the picture right now, and it seems like it's more that she has a belly, and so the belly protrudes out, and so the indentation sort of is on the upper side of that. In fact, it just so I don't know whether it's more I should be focusing on the belly, and so this is a protective tissue, you know, buildup of flesh, excessive flesh.
Well, yes, there's definitely, if it's excess flesh that's below it, there's a protection going on. But when you're looking at it, sorry, my computer just did something there. When you're looking at it, because obviously we don't have the picture, and this will be great, actually, something for us to think about, Agnieszka, because anybody has pictures, just send them in advance in case there's some way we can put them up for everyone to look at. I don't know if that's possible.
On Zoom, I think we might
Zoom.
Be.
Yeah, so we're going to look into that because it would be great to be able to see them. But when you're looking at it, Michelle, because I can have a visual based on what you're saying, what is your sense when you're actually looking at it? Do you sense like it's a solar plexus or a sacral?
Oh, solar plexus. It's above the navel, so it's definitely a solar plexus up there.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of an indentation, or shall I say contour around the belly in this sacral area, I mean, also. But it may be that there is a depletion. I stuck to my guns on it because, as I said, I saw a depletion, a clear one, an indentation around the backbone, you know, and so it seemed like it was coming from the back, you know, that it was from her past that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way in which her standing up for herself, or really letting herself be fully embodied in her power in this world, there's holding back that's coming from the past, or there's a loss of energy.
Yeah. So in that case, Michelle, if there's a belly underneath, if you think about the energy flowing from, so if you think about our ideas or our creations coming out from the sacral and moving up, the belly would be the blockage, like the chi flow very well for that area. So it also depends on the flesh quality of the blockage. Some blockages are more prone to allowing energy through, and some blockages, like if it's really flabby skin, and that's a really dead area, right, that's been that way for a long time. And so just thinking about how much vitality there is in the area, and
And then if it was blocked in the sacral, then there wouldn't be coming through to the solar plexus. So there could be a hollow in the solar plexus just because it's lacking the energy that was supposed to come from the sacral, from below.
Well, it looks like it's trying to move up, but there, my sense is there is a blockage. And in fact, when I asked her about that, it turned out that that there was a creative side of her that was not, had not been expressed, and that she'd been holding back on that because I guess two times some artwork of hers got stolen or not returned to her. And so she felt that that were, that why bother, because somebody will just take it away from her.
And that would affect your personal power in the solar plexus.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think that the energy also is stuck in the solar plexus as well, because there's a way in which she's not fully stepping into her power. She's holding it back. She's playing small. So I would say, you know, it's in both areas, and it just, it's not.
I would recommend a lot of body work for the lady to release the muscles around the solar plexus.
That was going to be my next question, is did you get in there with your hand and feel the diaphragm? Because the
I didn't.
Yeah, you might just want to, and like tenderly, right? And not with the tips of the fingers, remember, like with the hand, but just get in there and see if the diaphragm seems locked to you, because then if it is, at some point, that's our fight or flight. So that could be going back to at some point when her personal identity power was shut down, causing her to not be able to express perhaps her creative energy from flowing up.
Okay, so I have never felt the I mean, I think my own is pretty tight too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, and you say not with your fingers, but with what? With your hands? How do you feel?
Like, I mean, don't poke. Like, don't poke with the end of your fingers. It's a very mental kind
of like with the pads of your fingers.
Yes, the pads, and going in there gently, because we're never sure what kind of experience anybody has had. Remember, that's like Pandora's box. That's our light. The diaphragm is also the muscle of the ego, right? So it could be, if it's locked, you want to go in there gently, but just be curious to see that if it was there something that caused fear to shut down that personal identity power originally from being expressed, which would possibly shut down the sacral creative energy from coming up out of fear.
Right. Right, and I think that that's probably accurate. I mean, from what I know of her, I think that is probably the case.
Yeah, and then she bends over. Does she bend? Does she have a curvature?
She's not quite as bad as I am, but she has that kind of hangdog look, sort of the slow, sort of sloping forward, the cock, the hips cocked more forward rather than back. You know,
so
the bowl is up and it's spilling out.
So tucked?
Tucked, yeah, that's the
word. Yeah, so tucked would be more of a reserve, like that's more of like a dog with their tail between their legs?
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
So that's where it's really cool, like we're saying with Jeff, when you start looking at the different body parts, because that's an indication of fear at the base chakra. So that's, like, that's going into the younger years, and that would affect the solar plexus. So then my next thing would be, have you checked her jaw? So just to give an indication of how to tie the different body parts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So what do I look for in the jaw?
See what kind of tightness and ask her if she clenches her teeth. Go see what her elbows are doing as well.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm going to put my money down on lock knees.
Oh my God, she's totally got the Catholic knees. I mean, it's amazing. It's so amazing how her hips all that they all slope down to where the knees come together, and then the legs, the calves, and the feet spread out. It's the most it's the most
in
perfect
that
example.
In to childhood, lack of support from the inside, and weak in the solar plexus, so not being able to express herself fully.
But I'm going to say, if that's what's going on with the Catholic knees and all that, there's sacral issues. What do her lips look like?
Oh, let me look. Good. She has good sized lips.
Full?
Yeah, pretty full, yeah.
The top lip?
Yeah, fuller, as full as the bottom lips. Nice lips. Boy, I wish I had lips like that.
Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, that...
But the line of the lips is sort of straight across. It doesn't have much of a curve to it.
Yeah.
So sort of flat.
Yeah. So it's just different, places to be looking.
Yeah.
So again, I wish I could see it. But even the fact that you're telling me that they're straight, do they feel like they're tight-lipped even though they're full? Because sometimes we can manifest something that looks outwardly, it's okay. But if you look closer, the lips are actually tight-lipped.
I think there might be some tightness in there. And I didn't check the jaw, but that's really, really good now to know. So the jaw is also part of base chakra, or to think about the jaw in terms of...
I personally go there with the solar plexus personally, but it is all base and safety and security, but I address it with the solar plexus personally.
Okay. Well, that's what I think too, because that's what I'm.
So the chin area would be base, but the ascending ramus where we clench our jaw, that part is actually solar plexus. Those
okay. And you also said for me to check elbows too.
Yeah.
And whether or not they are tight. And I wonder if I had any notes
on
that.
Well, tight, but do they also turn, you know, when they rotate out, like, and then go in at the solar plexus?
Let me take a look at that picture. It's so nice to be able to look at this stuff. So, they kind of bend in at the solar plexus. And, you know, of course, the inner arms are facing out.
Yes.
And she's a little bit better at keeping her hands out in front, but they tended to, I mean, not out in front, but they tend to be out in front.
So more general. Like in a protective stance.
Yeah, I think she's worked on that.
Yeah. Definitely, if you're talking about the knees, how you described it, going in with the, kind of that Catholic stance, I guess you're calling it, that's from youth, and that's the sacral issue almost affecting the personal light power in the solar plexus. So she'd be great for some body work and to see how much you can get in between her knees.
Yeah.
Like I would actually start, I would do a little bit release first on her jaw, very gentle. Then I would go to the inside knees before I even went, if I had them on the table, before I even went into their belly button. To start releasing some of the, because that's more of the roots when you're getting into the legs.
Right, the roots, yes, yeah.
So inside
she did
the
say
knees.
That she has a tenderness in her belly button, but that may have been because of the last time you and Carol worked on her, so.
Oh, who are we? Oh, I see who we're talking. Yes, okay.
Yeah. So that, I'm very happy that, I mean, it was very sweet of her to let me.
Absolutely. I would work on the inside of her knees and the inside of her legs, up to the up her thighs with your forearm, gently at first.
Oh, okay. She doesn't hit me, but.
Well, you can tie her down.
Yeah. Okay.
Get her to sign something first.
Yeah. I was just trying to see if I could find anything, but I don't seem to be able to find anything on her. Oh, this is no wonder I'm looking at somebody else's report. Like, I can't find anything on here about the, I want to look at her elbows and see if I had made any notes on her elbows.
Yeah.
Her arms.
Next time you see her, just maybe check them out. Take both hands in front of her.
Oh, yeah. The left was a little less flexible than the right in terms of the elbow and the inner elbow splay out. Yeah, so that was the notice. But it's really great to hear this because I'm realizing how much deeper I can go or how much more I can notice, and that's really helpful. Yeah.
And really, it sounds like how much awareness you have with it, that case study in general, like the way you're talking about it, like really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Does that feel complete for you?
Yeah, totally. For now, definitely. Now I'm kind of jazzed to do another one so that I can have more stuff for next time.
Good. That's wonderful. And I don't know, Agnieszka, if it's possible we can look into if we can do pictures. Could that be something that'd be pretty cool?
On Zoom, I think we can do pictures.
Yeah, so if we can get them up and then at least when we're talking about them, we can have a picture up. So we can all see what we're talking about.
That would be really good.
Okay.
That would be really good.
We'll work on that. Is anybody else have a question that they would like to address?
I'll ask one.
Okay.
If nobody else. What are like a whole bunch of black of brown dots, like liver spots kind of thing on the back, upper back, the heart chakra area? How would you interpret that?
Like, are they liver spots? Are they age spots? Are they freckles? Are they flat?
I don't know, whatever they are. They're underneath clothing most of the time.
But what, you saw them?
Back.
You saw them?
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, so are they flat? Are they? Do they look like freckles to you? Or do they look like age spots? Like, what exactly...
I don't know the difference. I seem to remember they were fairly flat, I think. Yeah.
Okay, and have they always had them?
I didn't ask. But I see this in a number of people, though.
Like age spots?
Well, I don't, what are they? And some of them, they stick out. For some people, they stick out. But they are like all over the back.
Okay.
And in this case, I did her body analysis, and it's around the heart. And there are so many other things that had to do with the heart being depleted. So like I just kind of ignored it.
It's really hard to say when I cannot see the actual spots and how they're placed around the heart chakra, because that would really make a big difference how and what, you know.
And also if it's something that they've always had, and also are they an irritation, or they're sometimes it's just what... Are they a concern? Do you see what I mean? Like,
No, they're not a concern.
Okay.
They're not a concern. They're not an irritation. Have they always had them? Well, I'm probably not as a baby.
I guess the best thing I can say, if you have a picture of them and send it to us, offhand, like it's different. Like if somebody doesn't have something and then all of a sudden something happens to the skin, all of a sudden they've manifested something. Right? But if it's something that's kind of been there for a long time, they're not irritated, they're not red, they're not hot, they're not itchy. Do you know what I mean? It depends on, really, is it a concern and what do they look like? Because the skin does...
Well, she probably doesn't even know because it's on her back.
Okay, well, don't tell her till we find out. We don't want to see if you can take a picture without her noticing. But it's kind of like freckles as well. It's like we can look into the psychosomatic meaning. We can look it up in the book. Are they causing any unrest, any dysfunction, any stress to the individual's existence? Do you know what I mean? Like I have like a little mole that I've had at my belly button almost my whole life. I haven't really researched what it means, right? So, but a picture would be great, and we can find out. I don't know offhand, but I have.
Okay,
no...
Well, I'm just curious because I know a number of people with you know dots all over the back, and in her case, it's only around the heart area. So I was just curious, like.
Yeah, next time bring pictures.
Yeah, or can you send us a picture? Because, I mean, you kind of got me curious, too. And, I mean, I have no problem sending a picture to Herman.
You know, I don't... I'm... Okay, well, I got to check to see whether I actually have a picture of it. I don't think I really took a picture of it. I just noticed I never really zoomed into her back.
Yeah,
It may show up. It may show up because she also has like, a scoliosis kind of thing that I took a picture of.
Right. And also if you say like you've seen it in other people, if it's someone that you know that you've seen something similar and you can take a picture, because that's really good learning.
Okay, well, somebody else is different from hers. Hers is like only in the heart. I've never seen that before. Other people's is just like a lot of dots in the back. I'm just curious if it meant something that
Yeah, again, we wouldn't be able to say anything until we saw the picture.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Great.
So if you can find, yeah, if you can take a picture of it, that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about that. I'm not sure.
Okay, so another question then.
Yes.
I just enlighten me on this one, because my body shape is kind of squat, so I only have me kind of as a reference usually, right? Until now, I kind of start noticing. I notice a number of women, like they're, even though the short, they're the same, like they really have to pinch waist. So I know there's a very specific thing about pinched waist and, you know, the sole flex being choked and all that stuff.
I'm not sure what you mean by a pinched waist exactly, because there's so many different kinds. But I can imagine like 4 or 5 different ways that it could be pinched and it would mean something different, right?
Does it look? Do you mean like when the body looks like it's cut from top and bottom?
Yeah. You know, like one of those...
Like an hourglass?
Hourglass, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's very, like, it really goes in, and you can really see it. So can that be normal?
Well, it depends on the body. On one person's body, it could be considered normal, but it depends on the proportions of the upper and the bottom, upper and lower body. So, for example, if someone has a larger lower body, a cutoff at the waist, and then a slim upper, it means they're more introverted, more comfortable, more in the earthly inner world as opposed to outer expression. Or if they're smaller on the bottom, cut off at the waist, and have a larger upper torso, they're more of, say, of an extrovert in their head, more of outward expression, but have very little stability from within. Or you can have someone that just looks is balanced top to bottom, and then it's purely, say, a solar plexus issue if it's an extreme. With someone, though, it could just be a balance. It really, that, again, depends on case to case. It just depends what the balance is top to bottom as well. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Kay, are you asking whether or not it can ever be considered normal and not a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say yes. I mean, it doesn't always necessarily... It would depend on what's going on with the rest of the body. It would depend if the solar plexus is locked.
Or how much flow there is through the lower part of the body.
Yeah.
How what?
If the flow is unimpeded, then it's not a problem.
Right. And so you look at the other indications of the solar plexus, what's going on with her nose, what's going on in her hands, other indications that there might be some problem or issue with that standing, you know, for herself out in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but also muscle, like skin quality around the abdominal region, sacral chakra, how the sacral chakra connects to base and solar plexus, and I would also look at whether the muscles around the waist are tight or whether they're soft and pliable.
And that's why where the case studies are great, because then you're doing one person at a time, so you can look on what the relevance is to that in that person. So it's not
well,
always
it's great only if I know where to look for the information.
It comes gradually, Kay. You didn't learn like writing all overnight either.
It comes from
a couple years in kindergarten.
And it comes from doing the case studies. It comes from being in front of the bodies and just doing one case study at a time.
And coming to these meetings and bringing pictures.
Yes. And you know what I think is the biggest thing and the most beautiful part about our work is that we can repeat level 1, 2 masters, anything over and over again. And since every time you're able to come, whether it's for 5 days or 10 days, I mean, it's free. then you have a new set of bodies. You're in the presence of, you know, Carol's there, the bodies are there. And I mean, that's just in addition to like these calls and the interaction that we can have. So just to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I think that's very useful because it's not in the book. Like anything that you both said, they're not in the book.
Yeah. And
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and this is why these calls are going to be so great, I think, is because, you know, we have the experience of other people who are doing case studies, like even just tonight with Michelle and Jeff sharing their experience. Like, I'm learning from what they're experiencing with their case studies, just from the interaction. And then I think, hey, as we're able to bring up pictures, which I think I'm hopeful we're able to do, that's going to be profound learning as well. And I think that's great why we're doing classes. We do classes in Vancouver and Calgary and Sedona and throughout, so we can make it where hopefully more of us can get together to do it live as well. So, you know, if there is something you're not sure of, take a picture of the body, and we have this space here that we can look at them together. Because a lot of it, you're right, I mean, but I've learned just from coming back.
So, okay, so what you said, if it depends on whether at the waist it's soft or it's tight. Okay, so what does that mean when it's soft? And what does that mean when it's tight?
Okay, so the softness would depend, again, if it's in the solar plexus or if it's in the sacral. So if it's desensitized tissue, that's a protection. So sometimes there'd be a soft...
Oh, I understand. So I'm talking about the pinch waist plus the skin. So what do I look for? If it's tight, then what does it mean?
Well, if it's tight in the solar plexus block, which means energy is being held there and not moving through. And then as Michelle said, you'd look at other things like go check the knees to see if they're locked, because that would be an indication of a solar plexus issue as well.
Okay.
Right. So like say, for example, okay, I had someone in front of me and that waist is similar to what you're saying. And then I went in and I felt and it felt hard. Remember, like we had some of that in class. Mm-hmm. I'd go straight to the knees to see if they were locked. Mm-hmm. I'd see what was going on in the jaw. And that would give you a good indication that there's a solar plexus issue going on.
So the locked knee thing, unless they're like super locked, I can't tell whether they're locked. I mean, if they're standing.
Yeah, you can. You know, if they're locked, it's like they're really literally locked. It's like they're leaning, the knees are pressed all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, they'll have dimples in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The one picture in the book says ideal legs look locked to me, so I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah, but so you have to. The ideal leg shape, for example, is showing you the legs. It's very hard to get a perfect body without their knees locked when we're trying to show what a perfect leg frame looks like. So use that picture for leg frame, for example, and then go to the locked knee section of the book, and it'll show you how the locked knees look. You got to get in there. You just got to feel it. And don't tell them, I'm going to check your knees now. Start talking to their face and then just kind of slip down and touch their knees. 9 out of 10 times they're locked anyway, but then feel both and you might find the right one's locked, the left one's not. Again, I think that's just going to be from being in front of the body and just getting in there and touching it.
So do you actually push from the back to see if it's locked? Push from the front? See if they fall back or?
No. From the back. So if they're facing you, you take your hand to behind the knee and you push it forward. You don't want to push it the other way because that can damage their knee. So like pull it forward towards you. Not aggressively.
Of course.
Just subtly. And don't tell them in advance you're going to do it because the body is very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do that enough times, you'll just get the hang of it. You'll start to understand it with the practice of it. Yeah. And again, so it's just being in front of as many bodies as you can and just with practice.
Mm-hmm.
because I didn't understand the Loch Ness in the beginning either. I just had to feel enough of them until I went, oh, okay. And then you start to see it before you even touch it.
Ladies, we haven't really heard from Kara and Christy, and it's getting to 8:20. So let's hear from Christy and Kara. Christy and Kara, and see if they have anything.
Well, I have to go. So, you know, for me, it's just helpful to hear what everybody else is talking about. As you guys know, I'm working on myself and not really practicing with other people. But I appreciate it. I have to go in like 5 minutes, but I don't really have anything else to share.
Okay.
Did you enjoy the call, Christy?
Excuse me?
Did you have fun today on the call?
Well, I don't know if it's fun, but, you know, I learned a lot, and for me, there was something in there that I think it was especially helpful for me in just case studies. So I really, really love this specific case studies.
Nice.
Good. Excellent.
Awesome. More fun case studies coming up next month.
Plus, it's really good to hear Christy's voice. It's been a long
time.
Yes.
Thank you. And I actually have good news. My dad had major surgery yesterday. He wasn't supposed to have it on my birthday, but I was like, please don't die on my birthday.
Oh.
So he made it through, and he's doing well. So I wish I could get him to get on board with some of this work that we're doing, but he's not.
Well, I'm glad it went well for him.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Christy.
Are you coming to Sedona?
I am. I don't know when or how I'm paying for it yet, but Adam and Tia and I are going to talk, so hopefully I'll get back.
Yeah, we'll talk on Saturday.
Cool.
All right, awesome.
Okay. Cool.
And my RV and my dog will be there one way or the other.
Well, it wouldn't be the same without your RV there or your dog. So.
Well, Adam and Tia, she hears your voice, and I can tell she recognizes it because she's like jumping around, and, you know, I guess she wants to fly.
Aw, I can't wait to see you all. Thanks, Christy. How about you, Kara?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Christy. It was just really good to listen in on this call and just, like, witness everything that everyone had to say. Similarly, I haven't really been focused on the practitioner side of things. I've been focusing on some other stuff in my life, so it was really good to just kind of remember. It felt like coming back into me, just even hearing everyone discussing this sort of stuff, these truths that resonate really strongly within me. Yeah. But it was just helpful to listen in, because it's like, oh yeah, that's what I believe. I might not be being it and living it at this moment in time, but it's almost like an anchor point of like to getting back into seeing things through this, truth. So yeah. Yeah, so I thank you for that, and I look forward to participating in future calls, and hopefully I'll have more to contribute or even to ask next time.
Yeah, it was just great to see you pop up on the screen, Kara.
Yeah, I'm glad to be connected. I've strayed a little bit lately, and that's just how it's flowed for me. But still always connected, and just figuring out. I feel like I've kind of been exploring the outer world and then coming back to this and seeing how I'm going to integrate both from my observations and my explorations.
Beautiful. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Time for more inner exploration. I was just discussing this with a friend lately. It's like, whoa, integration time to surrender and go within, because I've been very outside of myself for the past, I'd say, 4 months or so. So, good to remember.
Good to remember, yeah. It's a process.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, last call for questions. It's 8:24 now.
All right.
Everybody feels complete?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. And we're going to work on pictures for next time. If anybody does have any, maybe let us know and we'll see how many of them we can go through. But in advance probably would be best instead of day of.
Yes, that sounds like a good idea.
And I think we'll sort out how we're going to do all that. So thank you so much. I'm really grateful to have been here with all of you. And thank you, Agnieszka.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Love
okay,
you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.